There was only one thing I understood about death as a child, writes journalist Liana Agajanian. When it arrived, it brought with it halva. Typically made from a thick paste of flour, butter, or oil, sweetened with sugar or honey, and then seasoned with saffron, rosewater, cocoa powder, or sesame seeds, the confection is popular throughout Armenia, Turkey, Azerbaijan, the Middle East, and India. In Liana's family, this sweet treat was inexorably linked with funerals. Born in Tehran to an Armenian family that came to the U.S. as refugees at the tail end of the Iran-Iraq War, her essay, How Armenian Funeral Halva Helped My Family Find Home in America, appears in the book We Are All Armenian, Voices from the Diaspora.
Hi, Evan.
For those of us who haven't had it, remind us what halva is.
Halva is essentially a class of foods that are derived from the word, the Arabic word, meaning sweet meat. There's many versions of it, many ways to pronounce it. You could call it halva, halva, halwa. But essentially, it has some key ingredients, sometimes which include flour, sometimes it includes tahini, as well as sugar and butter, and an assortment of things that you would add to it, including saffron, sometimes dates, rose water, depending on where you're from and how it's been made in your family.
There are so many different types of halva. Some, like the kind I grew up with, are made with sesame and are dense and crumbly. Others are moist and clumpy. Still other kinds of halva are almost gelatinous. What type did you grow up eating and what was it made of?
So the kind that I grew up eating, it was made with very simple ingredients, butter, flour, and sugar. And because it was such a popular treat in my household, my dad began to make it for us outside of us going to funerals. So he would spend hours on the stove just cooking the flour so that it would reach a certain type of color and then add the sugar and butter to it. And then after that was done, he would mold it in a dish and make a design on top. And that was the one that I mostly grew up eating. Although the one that is made with sesames, the commercial brands, including a very iconic one called Joiva, was also present in my house.
When you talk about molding the halva, it's very distinctive. Can you describe what it looks like when it's sitting on a dish?
Yes. So after all the ingredients are added and it's cooked, it kind of looks like a big lump in the pot, but very easy to mold. And so you would take that lump of flour, butter, and sugar and put it in a nice dish. It could be glass or ceramic, but deep enough so that it could hold the halva. But it was essentially molded to the dish and then patted down. Once that was cooled, you could put designs on top. My family didn't do anything too fancy, just using the back of a spoon or a fork to make little designs in the halva before it was cut up into squares and divided amongst us.
So let's talk about the funereal context. For you, halva was a big part of what's called the hokejash, the meal that's held after funeral services. Tell us about the meal. Can you paint a picture of it for us?
Yes. So the meal, the hokejash, which in Armenian translates to kind of like a soul food, is a time when families and close friends and relatives gather to honor the deceased with a lunch that happens after all the funeral rites have been read. Normally, in Los Angeles, if it's not at someone's house, it would be at one of the Armenian, or in my case, Armenian and Iranian restaurants in Glendale or Burbank or Pasadena. Everybody would get together. There would be a buffet, not too dissimilar from what you would serve at a wedding, for example, but obviously the context was different. Sometimes when a portion of the food was finished, people will stand up and give a speech related to the person who has died, sharing memories and thanking everybody for being there. And that lunch or dinner is what really sums up and ends the day of mourning.
So take us through the process of making it the way your dad does it.
Sure. So it would start with flour, and that's really what takes the longest time because when you put the flour in a pot on the stove or shallow pot, you want to be stirring it until it turns a very particular shade of tan or beige. That's really, I think, the toasted flour is what gives the halva that very specific flavor that we craved. And so he would stand there for quite a while and stir that halva, that flour, so that it would be ready for the other ingredients, which would be adding butter and then sugar. Some people make the sugar into a liquid beforehand so that it kind of just blends really well. There's a lot of different methods, but the thing that sticks out in my mind has always been getting the flour toasted well so that the flavor would be excellent.
Halva made in this way has always struck me as such an intentional dish to make, and one where if you're mourning, it's understandable that someone would just stand in one place looking down into a pan, watching this ingredient turn the right shade of color. When you make it, does it give you any comfort as you do it?
It definitely does give me comfort because I think it grounds me. I think the repetitive motion and the time that it takes to get it to that color makes me reflect on, of course, you know, the events of who has passed in my life. I always associate it with that, but also how rich my family's traditions, my community's traditions have been, that we tie this food to a ritual that's part of life, which is death, in order to make people who are mourning feel a little less upset, because the essential function would be that its sweetness would take away your pain. And so all of those thoughts and emotions are in my head, have been in my head when I've made it. And that time often gives me the grace to think about that. It reminds me a little bit of making yogurt too. When I make yogurt and I'm stirring, it takes me back to a place that is just kind of not in the present and connects me to a bunch of things that I often don't think about when I make other types of food.
Thank you so much. Your piece was really lovely. Such a fantastic essay.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that.
That was journalist Liana Agajanian sharing her love of halva. For her project, Dining in Diaspora, she's currently documenting the Armenian experience in America through food. You'll find her essay, How Armenian Funeral Halva Helped My Family Find Home in America, in the book, We Are All Armenian, Voices from the Diaspora. Head to kcrw.com/goodfood for a link. In a minute, if you, like me, started composting in earnest when LA introduced its mandatory composting program, then you might be wondering, where does all this food waste go, and is it really worth the effort? You have questions, we have answers. Stay close.